This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lynn likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and backs it in.
Yes.
Sensational play for Jeremy Lin.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Lin's sanity continues here at Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, Keith, tell me something cool.
Hey, John. Good to hear from you again, man. This came from at Devils Fanatics. Some might think that's pretty cool. For the first time in NHL history, the Devils have qualified for the Stanley Cup playoffs, while the Rangers, Flyers, Islanders, Penguins, and Bruins have not. But, you know, let's not laugh too much. As Devils fans, I was talking to my boy CJ, who is a Yankee fan, Devils fan, and he cracked a joke today, and he's like, yeah, how about those Rangers playoff tickets or lack thereof, or how about those Rangers playoff game? I'm like, yeah, they won't be in it this year, but the Devils might not win a game. I hate to say it. They have a game tonight against the Bruins, and then there is a game tomorrow against the Red Wings. I may try to tap in for that one. I don't know, though. Why I say that? Because currently the Devils are on a three-game losing streak on home ice. I know it's regular season. It's not the playoffs. You could say that maybe they know who they're going to face, the Carolina Hurricanes, and, you know, it's done, and, you know, those games wouldn't change it. So it's kind of tough to go out there and really, you know, I don't know. I'm not making excuses for them. It has not been a good look. They lost to the Bruins 7-2 in Newark, and then the Penguins 4-2, and then Sunday, the Islanders go in there, and they can't score. They lose 1-0. And I'm like, they are limping into these playoffs where most people don't think that they have a chance against the Carolina Hurricanes. They have faced the Carolina Hurricanes so many times and been defeated by them. The last time they were in the playoffs in 2022, we know what happened. Or 2023, we know what happened. I don't know. I'm excited about some Stanley Cup playoffs and some playoff hockey. But at the same time, it'd be nice to see the Devils, like, win a game here. One of these last two. Maybe the one at home. Just to give the fans a little bit of faith. But anyway, my sister was with me tonight, and she chimed in. She's like, see, but like, it's always a team that, like, you know, they lose on the way into the playoffs, and the playoffs come, and they flip a switch. And I'm like, I'm betting the Devils that first game. They might steal that first game. And if they steal the first game, that could change the entire series. We know the pedigree of the Carolina Hurricanes. I just hate that they're the same colors as the Devils, too. Anyway, 888-808-1019. Back to my notes I go. Here's something that came across my desk. Rumors from the NFL. JPA Football writes, Aaron Rodgers' pitch to the Vikings was the idea of making a one-year run at a championship and him being willing to mentor J.J. McCarthy. This is coming from Albert Breer. In the end, faced with all of that, the Vikings found themselves emboldened to give McCarthy the runway to seize the job. the staff the opportunity to build the offense for him and see how that looked at the end of the spring. So the Vikings passed on Rodgers, pushing their chips in on a 22-year-old. Aaron Rodgers is a song that doesn't end, Keith. Why are you bringing Aaron Rodgers back into the conversation? He's not here anymore. We don't have to talk about him. Well, I bring him into the conversation because there was so much conversation on the Jets moving on from him and how that was a mistake and how Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji are already messing this thing up. And, oh, you go to Justin Fields, you're going to regret. I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers is done. And anybody that watched those games and watched that field, watch what he did on the field or didn't do on the field and watch that film, will go to a younger quarterback and roll the dice and hope that they can work with him and that this guy's got some athleticism and can make some plays versus a entitled former MVP, future Hall of Famer, but a guy that's past his prime with even making some of the simplest of throws. 888-808-1019. So the Jets are not alone in passing on Aaron Rodgers. The Vikings took a look and said, nah. And the Steelers, it seems like the Steelers are the last team standing. But like, as we're getting closer to the draft, like, what's the wait? I know. Aaron Rodgers probably wanted to go to Minnesota. Two reasons I would think of. No, not to complete the circle of life with Brett Favre, who I did see there's a new Netflix doc coming out all about Brett Favre. I would watch that. The two reasons I think Aaron Rodgers would go to Minnesota are they play indoors. They have a beautiful stadium, a beautiful field. The conditions in there are always whatever they want them to be. Play all your home games in there at 41 going on 42. That'd be excellent. And then number two is to stick it to the Packers. I'm sure he's still got an axe to grind. I'm sure he would love to go back to Lambeau and beat them in the Vikings uniform with the rivalry that they have. And I don't think that's going to be a reality. I don't think he's going to get the chance to do so. The Vikings are, I don't know how they're going to, is it Nick Mullins? The Vikings are going to go with J.J. McCarthy, who they used the top pick on last year. And with Kevin O'Connell, he feels like he could turn anybody into something. He turned Josh Dobbs into a quarterback that won his first game, and he didn't even know his teammates' names. I mean, they took a flyer on Daniel Jones. Don't forget about Daniel Jones, too. Daniel Jones has a real good shot to win that job. I don't know what the Colts are going to be, but I think he could beat out Anthony Richardson. But, yeah, I'm very intrigued to see what the Jets do at this 7 overall pick now. I think Tyler Warren is too sexy for them, even though I like the pick. And when I say sexy, pause, like, you know what I mean. It's just like it's you want your fans to be excited. You want your fans to go out and buy that jersey. I don't know how many of them are buying a 78 Membu jersey. But if you took Tyler Warren and you put on that 44, what? That would go crazy. Membu wears what number? 79? I was off by a number. Wouldn't be a bad pick. Wouldn't be a bad. Then you have your offensive line set and two bookends for the next 10 years. I think you could find another guy later in the draft that could possibly be that too. Tyler Warren. Just makes too much sense. And I don't think they're going Teterola McMillan either. Tankathon has him going to the Dallas Cowboys. If he's there, punch it. Because they made a mistake last year of not having a number two wide receiver to your CD Lamb that, you know, had to hold out through the whole training camp. And, you know, I'm looking at the Giants. Again, my whole thing with the Giants is this pick has to be a gold jacket guy. And I know that's hard to do. But this pick has got to be a talented player that, like, helps you win now. And I think when you look at Travis Hunter, maybe he could be that because he plays two positions. But there's something telling me they want to draft Shador. Why are they still taking a look? Now, Shador doesn't help them win this year. but they can still draft other players that help them win. And you know what? I think a lot of fans would be happy with the Shedeur Sanders pick. A lot would be mad, but like, you need your quarterback of the future. Daniel Jones was drafted and was here for a long time, and he's gone. There are Giants fans that are like, and I think I heard C-Mac talking about this, and you're absolutely correct. There are Giants fans that are like, what good is it to have these two journeyman quarterbacks, these two failed, average, barely average NFL quarterbacks in Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, and then kick the can down the road another year from drafting and developing your own guy? And I say it's because these guys don't have that luxury. They don't have the time. They don't have the time. And we, a lot of times we lump them together. There's a reality that exists where the Giants are bad again and Dable has shown the door, but Shane is given more time to draft and develop and really fill out his roster. I mean, if you think about it, how much he's had to do after Gettleman and how much he's gone out of his way almost to let go of players that Gettleman drafted, like, maybe he's going to have the opportunity to really, I don't know, keep building this thing, but I wouldn't trust him. I don't know who to trust. Darren Mougie, Aaron Glenn, Brian Dable, Joe Shane, nobody. Carlos Rodon, can't trust him. Juan Soto, can't trust him either. Anyway, 888-808-1019. Being in Yankee Stadium tonight, that's another thing that I wanted to just go back to because I did go to my first night game and I did get to, like, you know, get back, like, to the Bronx to, like, being, like, Yankee fans are showing up. So if there's anybody really, like, the internet and even callers, I don't think there's anybody really panicking about this team. Are there issues, concerns? Yes, sure. But there are so many bright spots. Like, Paul Goldschmidt doubled and singled tonight. And somebody in my live chat was talking about, like, how, you know, they're not really sure about Goldie. I'm like, what do you mean? The guy with the highest batting average on the team? The guy that they told us this winter was washed? That they got for $12 million? I'm thinking about maybe bringing Goldie back next year on another one-year deal already. In 30 games, he's got 22 hits. And he's not looking for the power. He's just looking to get on. He's just looking to get a knock. Good. We have needed that. We have needed that. And when I was talking about Goldie, I'm like, think about what he's replacing. Rizzo, LeMayu, Cabrera, John Birdie. Who else played first base? Like, that is such a plus. And then on top of it, Ben Rice, Trent Grisham. There are so many pleasant surprises on this team right now. Dominguez, not even the bat. But, like, Dominguez has had productive at-bats and made a difference a little bit. He's not there yet. But his defense today, pleasantly surprised to see how confident he was tracking the ball, making plays. And even the bullpen. Carlos Carrasco, we want to talk about a pleasant surprise. Carlos Carrasco going out there and doing what he did. So it's like there's more good than bad. If you want to be mad, go ahead and be mad. There is so much more good than bad this early on in the season. And now, all the games in Major League Baseball have gone final, so I will take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. And if you're on Twitter in the chat and there's, you know, one thing that I need to know from each game, I'll hit you with the scores and I'll hit you with some things that I've seen. Like, I think earlier I was talking about there's six teams in Major League Baseball, or six players in Major League Baseball that are tied for the league lead in home runs. And Judge was one of them, and Jazz was one of them. And somebody in my chat probably saw it. I literally said, Fernando Tatis is heating up. Fernando Tatis hit his fifth home run, and there's a good chance that he'll hit another home run, and he'll be in this group. Well, I wish I put my money where my mouth was. Called it. Tatis homered in the third inning and the eighth inning as the Padres go on to beat the Cubs, who have been really solid early on this year. The Padres are just rolling. The Padres beat the Cubs 10-4, and Tatis has been balling. Leading off for them, he's hitting 361. He's got six homers. Like, Tatis is one of my favorite players in the game. He's just all swag, and he's really good. And if you look at the standings right now, as we're talking about the AL East, the Yankees are in first at 9-7. 9-7 would have them in fourth place where the Arizona Diamondbacks are right now in the NL West. The Padres are at the top of the NL West at 14-3. All right, let me hit the rest of these scores, and I see the calls coming in. We will get to your calls. So that game goes final. The Dodgers defeat the Rockies 5-3. I saw Mookie Betts homered in that game. The Cardinals beat the Astros 8-3. Winning pitcher was Sonny Gray. Remember, Sonny Gray couldn't pitch here like Carlos Rodon. The Brewers, they get smacked by the Tigers. Common opponent that they share, the Yankees. The Tigers beat the Brewers 9-1 for their 10th win of the season. The Blue Jays lose at home to the Atlanta Braves. Don't look now, but here come the Braves. 5 wins. They beat the Blue Jays 8-4. You already know what happened in New York. The Yankees beat the Royals 4-1. Out in Minnesota, the Mets beat the Twins 5-1. Down in George M. Steinbrenner Field, the boss, the Tampa Bay Rays, put up 16 runs to defeat the Red Sox 16-1. Who did all the damage there? Caminero, Morel. I don't have the time. 888-808-1019 as we go back to the box scores. I'll take a look at that at another time. Down in Philly, the San Francisco Giants waste no time. They lay the smackdown on the Yanks, and they go right down the turnpike. They put up a 10 spot on the Phillies. They beat the Phillies 10-4. I think I saw Yaz homered in that game. And last but not least, the Pirates put a 10 spot on the Washington Nationals, beat them 10-3. 888-808, you know the number to dial. Dave is in Lakewood. Dave, you got it right now.
Yeah, what up?
What's up?
I just want to know, if Cookie Carrasco keeps going how he's going, maybe Will Warren's going bye-bye when Schmidt comes back?
No, Marcus Stroman is already on the IL, so you put Clark Schmidt right there.
Okay, so then when Hill comes back?
We'll cross that road when we get there. When Luis Hill comes back, you would think, I honestly thought that Will Warren was going to be sent down when Clark comes back because he's the young guy with the options. But when Hill comes back, who knows where we'll be. Maybe somebody else will be hurt, knock on wood. Maybe Stroman will just be, I don't know. Let's see. Let's see who's performing well, because they can't afford to send Will Warren away if he's still willing himself to victory and still being serviceable. And they're winning when he's on the mound, so.
Winning when he's on the mound, but not through him.
He's been good enough. They're losing when Rodon is on the mound. I think Will Warren, they've won 2 or 3 of his starts.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Dave. 888-808-1019. Let me go check on that. And obviously, when you're not going deep into games, you know, it'll be a no decision. Will Warren just got his first win against the Giants over the weekend. Let's see. He's got one win, but in Pittsburgh, I think they won that game that he pitched in Pittsburgh. Stats. Let me pull up this schedule here just to make sure that we are correct. There's already too many games. Like, I can't remember these games. There's already too many games. So, yeah, Will Warren pitched on April 6th, and the Yankees lost that game. But to no fault of him, that was, you know, the extra innings game that Sunday, Devin Williams at the end, Tommy Pham. They battled back. They should have won that game. I can't hold that against the kid. And then on April 1st, They lost to the Diamondbacks. That's another thing. Perfect. They lost to the Diamondbacks. They should have won that game. You can argue that they should have won all of Will Warren's starts. You can argue that they lost two of Will Warren's starts. No fault of his own. Like, you can't, like, I can't be mad at that kid. They got to do better for that guy. 888-808-1019, Eddie in Rockland on the Fan. Go for it, Eddie.
What's up, Keith?
You know, talking.
You were talking about Rodgers before and what the Steelers are going to do. The Steelers are going after Milrose. You know,
is that true?
People should open up their eyes to that, especially the Jets, because if the Steelers are going to jump on them in the first round, there's no reason for them not to trade down and target that kid and then work from there. Because
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You're a football player. You don't know?
You think the Steelers are going to draft Jalen Milroe at 21?
Yep, I sure do.
And he'll be the fourth quarterback to go in the first 21 picks?
Well, I don't know. Who's the fourth? I got Milroe as the third.
Cam Ward 1, Shedeur Sanders 2, Jackson Dart 3, Milroe 4.
I don't have Jackson Dart in the first round. He's a second round to me. He's a second round. I put Riley Leonard in before him.
Riley Leonard before Jackson Dart?
Yeah. You should watch him a little bit.
I've watched him play before, and I've watched his film, and there's no rankings that have come out that have put Riley Leonard ahead of
him. Here's the prescription for the Jets. The Jets get Matt trade down a little bit, get Matthew Golden, the wide receiver, the speedster, get the Alabama quarterback, and get the Iowa running back, and there you got 80% of the offensive plays into fresh new hands with speed.
No, they're not going to do that. They've got three running backs.
Of course they're not going to do it. You know why they wouldn't do it? Because maybe they'd score more than 20 points a game.
I think they'll have a lot different offensive philosophy and approach. But I don't see them trading back to get Bolden. I don't see them trading back to add another running back that early.
Well, they got to do something, Keith. They got to put up 24 a game. You know, everybody's talking defense and Hunter and this guy. You know, the Giants had Burns last year. Their defense was supposed to explode, that off-defensive line. You know what it didn't do? It didn't explode.
Thanks for the call, Eddie. 888-808-1019. I mean, you're right. I'm not going to say you're wrong with that, but I just... You know, we start to create these mock drafts and these ideas of what these teams are going to do, and it takes two to tango. Usually these trades are complete shocks. And a lot of them sometimes it's like, you know, last year the Bills trading with the Chiefs for Xavier Worthy, the fastest man in the history of the combine. For the Bills to make that trade to their nemesis, who literally knocked them out again, it made no sense, but like that's what they do. And I think they made the trade with the Chiefs so the Chiefs could trade up to get Mahomes once upon a time. It's about relationships. You got to know somebody over there a lot of times to pick up the phone. The running back you were talking about is Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. I don't see the Jets going running back. They have three running backs, unless they trade Breece Hall. And I do not see Jalen Milroe. Jalen Milroe, and I was like, you should watch him. Jalen Milroe was at the Reese's Senior Bowl with Jackson Dart, with all of those coaches and scouts there. And nobody has Jalen Milroe over Jackson Dart after those practices in that game. Now, just based off of raw talent and speed and strength and, like, being a potential weapon, I like Jalen Milroe. I do not like using a... I don't like using a 21 overall pick for the Steelers on Jalen Milroe, who might not be able to complete the ball to DK Metcalf, let alone DK Metcalf and George Pickens. It would be, if that's the case, then Mason Rudolph is going to be your starter, and Jalen Milroe, you're using a first round pick on to be a package guy. You tried that last year, and it didn't work. You tried to have some packages for Justin Fields to come in with Russell Wilson. It didn't work out. I don't think they're doing that. I think the Jets are going to play this safe. I want the sexy pick. I don't think they're trading back. I think they're going to be clapping their hands and excited to bring in the best offensive tackle on the board. That is not Will Campbell, actually. Will Campbell is the best offensive tackle. But they're going to tell you his arms are too short. I think the Jets will be happy to fortify that offensive line. They plan on running the ball. They've got four running backs in Justin Fields, Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, Isaiah Davis. They did bring in Stone Smart to join Jermaine Ruckert and Kenny Yeboah. Is Kenny Yeboah still with them? I think so. Yeah. No, he's with the Detroit Lions now. But either way, they have Jermaine Ruckert. They have Stone Smart. They may not think about Tyler Warren the way that a lot of us do. Oh, I got Fleegs here. You know what? Well, let's take a break. It just clicked to me. When we come back, I'll talk to Fleegs about Tyler Warren because he is a Jets fan and a Penn State grad. I don't know if C-Mac got to this at some point last week late in the night, but if not, I'll be the first one to get to it. So 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Last call for calls. I've got 25 minutes left. We will be right back after this.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Okay, I'm back. Thanks for holding. Thanks for waiting. Keith McPherson on the Fan for the next 19 minutes, 18 minutes or so. Before we went to break, it just like was like the light bulb went off in my head, a eureka moment. I'm like, who's a Penn State fan, Jets fan, that watched Tyler Warren play in Happy Valley and could weigh in on his fit with the Jets and if they'd rather see the Jets go that way? The guy producing the show, Michael Fleegs. Yo, I'll let you take it from here. People know that you went to Penn State. I know you watched Penn State football games and you're a Jets fan. I know you've watched every single Jets game for X amount of years. The Jets are on the clock. At number 7, they select Tyler Warren and...
So, twofold here, because I don't think it would be a bad pick. Normally, I am against taking a tight end that early, but this is a draft with only two great players. So unless you're passing on a Hunter or a Carter, at that point, getting a good player with the kind of ceiling and complete makeup that Tyler Warren does have, I'm okay with, because you're not passing on, again, a guarantee, a Lockett tackle or receiver or one of the positions with maybe more value. So tight end at 7 is something I could live with more in this draft than compared to some others. I just hope, as a Penn State guy and somebody who is real, I feel like I'm done with the Jets until someone not named Woody Johnson owns the team. I hope for Tyler Warren's sake that he ends up somewhere else. One, because the Jets are one of the worst organizations in the world. And two, what would scare me is that the obvious comparison, the easy one, will be that people from day one will compare Tyler Warren to Brock Bowers. And he will have been taken earlier in his draft than Brock Bowers was last year. Tyler Warren is not Brock Bowers. He's a different kind of tight end. So I would work, because Brock Bowers just broke the rookie receptions record, over 100-plus catches.
Tyler Warren's not doing that.
And they're not going to ask him to do that. Whoever drafts him, they're not going to ask him to do that. He's going to be blocking a lot more. He is a more complete player. He's going to be used in different ways. But I just think that it would be the gut reaction of most fans who don't know that going in would be to say, oh, well, he's a bust because he's not Brock Bowers. Then you add in the quarterback uncertainty and the overall uncertainty of the Jets. I hope for Tyler Warren's sake that he ends up in a more stable offense, a more stable organization. But if you're the Jets at 7, I don't think you can knock the pick because, again, as much as I like Membu, like there are not locks at these other positions or guys with the high ceiling that we typically have in the range of the 7th pick of the draft. Warren is about as sure of a thing as you're going to have in this draft.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no locks, but I mean, most people are looking at Tyler Warren and were through his season saying, this guy's going to be a really good NFL tight end. I hate when people point to like Kyle Pitts, but I think now Brock Bowers has erased most of that conversation because it's like Kyle Pitts, you know, coming out of Florida was all world and whatever, but the situation wasn't correct. Brock Bowers will be connected to the Jets because they didn't go Brock Bowers and they went Olufashinu. But also, like, I don't know, I look at that too. That's a Penn State guy that came to the Jets. Him and Tyler Warren know each other. Passing on the tight end last year, it's a different regime. It's not Douglas and Saleh. I don't think that these guys are going to, you know, and Glenn and Muji, I don't think that those guys are going to say, hey, we didn't get the guy last year because they weren't there. But I do think there will be some interest and intrigue because Tanner Engstrom was a former tight ends coach. And so was Ben Johnson. I'm trying to go to his, let's see. He was the Detroit Lions tight ends coach and passing game coordinator in 2022. And then he moved up to just passing game coordinator in 2023, 2024, before becoming the offensive coordinator. So this guy has worked with tight ends. He's got an eye for tight ends. And I think that if he is telling Glenn, hey, this is the guy, and if he's telling Muji, like, yeah, we should get a guy like this for our offense, then they might punch it. But also, you know, we saw Sam Laporta in that Lions offense. And Sam Laporta is a guy, they just went back and started showing us, you know, Sam Laporta's like draft stuff. And he's just a football guy. And he was coming out of Iowa. And I don't think he was on everybody's radar. But I think they got him second round. He wasn't a first round pick. Sam Laporta was drafted by the Detroit Lions with the 34th overall pick in the 2023 NFL draft. Second round. High in the second round. But when you look at, that's another thing I said. They do have Jeremy Ruckert. They do have Stone Smart. If they want to draft a tight end and you take a look at these tight ends, I like the kid out of Miami. Elijah Arroyo. There's also the Colston Loveland out of Michigan. Like, there's a chance that, you know, you could get a good tight end in a later round. But I still think Tyler Warren is just a sexy pick. I like that he wore number 44 because his pop showed him John Riggins and was like, hey, you're going to run like this when you get the football. I'm like, great. Great to show your child, like, this is who you should model your game after, because they're not looking for him. And John Riggins was drafted by the Jets. I think he was drafted 6th overall. So there's some crossover there. There's some parallel there if you're into that. But I do think that this regime, they've been so quiet and so professional. I think a 7th overall pick for a tight end may be a little bit of a reach, may be too sexy for their blood. And I think Armin Membu is a guy that's, you know, he's 6'5", 332, and there's some people that have him over Will Campbell as their top tackle because of the measurables. And I'm sure they've done their due diligence. It depends, right? This kid is coming out of Missouri. He's going to come to New York. It's going to be a little bit of a culture change, a culture change. But at the end of the day, you know, he's got to just block and, you know, move guys out of the way. And there's some guys that just come through and do what they do. I'm looking at a mock draft right now, as I mentioned, Elijah Arroyo, that, you know, for the Jets, on the Jets website, that has a picture of him. And in this mock draft, I guess Mel Kiper has it, where they don't go Tyler Warren in the first round, but at pick number 42, they get Elijah Arroyo out of Miami. So that might be it. Let's see. Mel Kiper, number 7, they go Armon Membu. Membu is powerful and quick, and he started 30 games at right tackle in college. It would make a lot of sense for the Jets to pop him into their lineup there with Olu Fashanu manning the left side. They signed quarterback Justin Fields, who has the league's second highest sack rate since being drafted in 2021. For this to work, the offensive line has to be good. So, yeah, there's, you know, you got me sold there with how Justin Fields takes sacks. And I think that's more of a product of him trusting his arm strength and his running ability and having to try and hang in the pocket and make plays with what was the Chicago Bears offensive line. Mel Kiper writes about pick number 42 taking tight end Elijah Arroyo out of Miami. No Tyler Warren for the Jets in round one, but getting the top offensive tackle in the class in Armon Membu and then landing Arroyo in the second round is a win. Arroyo can stretch the field for Justin Fields at 6'5", 250. No one can cover him. New York could line him up all over and then uncork 50-50 balls for him to haul in. So maybe without me even reading that, I put it out there for them to potentially go and get their tight end in the second round. And maybe he's there. Maybe he's not. Even here, too, as we took the call before about Jackson Dart, Chad Ruder has Jackson Dart going number 7 to the Jets. I don't doubt the Jets believe in Justin Fields, he says, but I also think that that won't necessarily preclude them from drafting a QB. Competition between Fields and Dart will help the team figure out if either player can become gangrene's long-term answer. I don't think you take a quarterback there. I think we still want to see what Jordan Travis is. I think you don't take that quarterback there just so you don't even have an issue with Justin Fields' mental state. This is a guy coming into this situation and being paid like he's the guy. So, like, just let him at least be the guy. And, like, I don't know. If you want to take a later round quarterback, maybe. But definitely let Justin Fields be the guy. And we don't know. You know, the Yankees let Jason Dominguez be the guy in left field, and a lot of us were screaming and crying about that. No, no, it's not going to work. And I know I said, like, he's going to take his lumps. So far, so good. So far, he's not taking his lumps. So far, he hasn't looked like he's looked in spring training. And that's the thing. Big difference between spring training and the regular season. Bobby is in Mattawan, home of the Huskies on the Fan. What's up, Bobby?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, actually, going back on what you were saying about Dominguez, like, he's, you know, Boone just said on the post game when I just watched a replay of it that he's taking the right lanes or whatever. He's not, dude, you're major. He played center field, and he's not taking that catch he made tonight was luck. You know, like, he's not taking the right lanes. He's not doing
and a little athleticism. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, to recover.
Yeah. It's athleticism, but he's not playing left field right. You know what I mean? Like, he's
still figuring it out. He's still learning left field in Yankee Stadium. But, like, yeah, his route was not like a direct route to that ball. That ball kind of almost ate him up, and he got there because he is so fast.
Right, and also too, routine fly balls are looking like, hey, what do I do here? Like, you know what I mean? I remember there was
a snow cone in the first series, I believe. But I got to give him credit for tonight. He was on the run. I'm looking at the highlights now. He even came in for that one that landed right in foul territory, and he was there. You know, there were 42,000 people in there. If he drops one of those, it gets loud. And
but there was also a lot of them. Like, there were routine fly balls that he was going in. And I understand what you're saying, 42,000 people. But every single fly ball was a guess. It was guesswork, you know?
Yeah, at least he's guessing better. Thanks for the call, Bobby. 888-808-1019. I'm just not going to take any opportunity to hate on a guy who was flawless out there. We can nitpick, like I said, you know, that one that Salvi hit on a, it looked like his track, like if they actually were tracking him, he went left, he went back, he went left, and because he's so fast, he was able to get there. But there's the other one where I said where he breaks to foul territory. Well, where he's there, that ball is dropping in foul territory, rather, and he's there. He's in fair territory. He steps over to make the catch. And then the other one in the gap going towards the wall, he got there, and the way he caught the ball was very nonchalant. Where it shows me that, okay, all of the work now that we're in the middle of April, and he's had two solid months of work, it's paying off. He's going to get better at it. And yes, Bobby, he was a center fielder, but from what everybody is saying, he wasn't much better at center field than he is in left field. It was a little bit of a journey. I didn't see that, but I didn't see him enough. So far, so good. Because if he made mistakes tonight that changed that 4-1 game, where like all the runs tonight were scored off solo shots, a Dominguez era could have changed that game, and it never happened. And they're not messing around too much. Like, they take him out, and like with Belly being hurt, you don't really have the flexibility to do that. So he knows, hey, Belly's down again. Like, it's go time for me. I got to be there. When Belly's available, they can put Belly in left and take him out of the game. And I know there's some people moaning and groaning about, oh, you're taking his bat out of the game. He's a defensive liability. But as he's getting better, he's not. And you know what? Like, he was interviewed in the post game. He is a whole kid, bro. This is a 22-year-old kid. He said, you know, how his teammates were happy, more happy than they were, right? Routine fly balls, like you said, Bobby, yeah. Out there, he's going and making the catch. This is routine. I'm supposed to make this catch. But he's coming back to his teammates excited for him, like, good job, great catch, way to make the play, way to be there. Because they watched him struggle, and they watched him get ridiculed, and they watched people kill him and say that he can't play left field. And here he is, playing left field and getting it done. 888-808-1019. Running out of time, but if you'd like to get a call in, you can get a call in. Something that I wanted to put out there for your Brooklyn Nets, as the Nets season is a wrap. And, you know, I feel like if you're a Nets fan like I am, it makes you watch the NBA less. I'm right now sharpening up on the playoff teams. And I was telling one of my homies this. I was like, bro, I'm in a crazy reality. I watched a lot of hockey this year. And you can't be a hockey fan and a NBA fan at like a beyond casual level. I'm like, I think I've become somewhat of a casual basketball fan because the Nets are ass and the Devils exist. And I went to more Devils games this year than I went to Brooklyn Nets game. I don't know what happened to me. I'm like, now I'm legit watching the Four Nations face off. I'm watching Rangers games. I'm watching Islanders games. I'm going to Devils games. I'm not even thinking about going to see the Brooklyn Nets. Well, they didn't need me. The Brooklyn Nets had 25 sellouts in 41 home games. The Nets drew over 7,000 fans this season, the sixth time they'd done so since 2013-2014, according to the YES Network. They only managed that once in the prior 36 years that they were in the fine state of New Jersey. I remember it like it was yesterday. Me growing up in Jersey, I was mad at Jay-Z. I was mad at Hove moving the Nets to BK. I'm like, I'll never get there now. I could barely get to Continental Airlines Arena. But I understood. And shout out to my wife. I actually got to go back and look. I actually meant to say this to my wife. I think my wife took me, she wasn't my wife at the time, but I think she bought the tickets to a playoff game, and I forget the date, but I know it was against the Bulls. I think it was the maybe game three. It was a game before Nate Robinson dropped like 50 on him. And the Nets won, and when I went and saw that game, I'm like, this is why they left. Greener pastures over here. I understand it now. Matt is in Mattawan. Another Mattawan caller. Before we close it out, you got it, Matt.
Another Mattawan. Wow, I'm excited about that. What's
yeah,
up,
back
brother?
To back. Bobby from Mattawan, Matt from Mattawan. You guys didn't time that up together.
Nah, that was totally by mistake, but I love it. How you doing over there?
I'm good. Jersey Shore, holding it down.
Oh, we can't get into the Jersey Shore thing right now because that'll be a different conversation over here. I'm a New York guy, but I spent every single summer of my life down the Jersey Shore for 38 years. So I got a question for you over here, and I know this is going to be a hard one because you're a massive Brooklyn Nets fan. I would like you, if you possibly could, just pretend for a few minutes that you were a New York Knicks fan, all right? So you got your New York Knicks fandom, but you also got the New York Knicks GM side of you. You're the GM of the Knicks. We all know everybody's talking about Thibodeau and all that stuff. It's fresh. Everybody loves him, but everybody knows what's happening. My thing to you is this. You know what they're going through. You know they have no more picks. You know the Bridges stuff. I think Bridges is a great ball.
Go on, you're still there.
Oh, my bad. I heard the noise in the background, thought I was done.
Happens every time.
Yeah. So my thing to you is this. You're the Knicks GM right now. Obviously, they're not winning the chip this year. Maybe they make a run. Are you giving Tibbs an extra year or not? And if
yes.
you are,
yeah.
what's your next move, brother?
I would add to what Tibbs has to work with, but I can't fire the guy who's been the architect of these teams that have been top seeds, these teams that have won, that have made me a ton of money now winning. Like, I can't get rid of him. Thanks for the call, Matt. I can't get rid of him. I can't blame this season on him and other teams being better. All right, Gallo's coming up next. He's got you. Thanks for listening. I'm out.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.